This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two, Football Friday edition of the program. Big weekend of college and the NFL coming up. Of course, highlighted here for us. With the, is it 7:30 kickoff, ESPN, or 7 o'clock?
7.
7 o'clock, okay. Some people to miss it.
7.
7, all right. Is 7 the perfect kickoff time?
Yes. For an away game, sure.
Okay. Kind of a light schedule this week. At least we have baseball, though, also.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, since the Braves couldn't get it done in L.A.
Okay, let's...
It's all right. They're still up 3-2. I mean, that's fine.
I know.
They're the Dodgers. They're one of the favorites, even though they're a wild card team. You got them right where you want them.
Yeah.
This is what they... it's what the Braves did to the Indians. Last time they won a World Series.
Mm.
Won Game 6 back in the friendly confines. Different stadium then, but you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
11-2 last night as the Braves kind of mailed it in once it was out of hand. Probably smart.
Probably wise. Save the pitching.
Yeah, tonight you got Boston and Houston. Game 6.
Who you got on the mound, Hickman?
Eovaldi? I don't know.
He doesn't know. He's just guessing pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I only know two of them, so.
On the year, Tennessee quarterbacks, Nate, have thrown one interception.
See? Yeah, good.
Pretty good.
Didn't Hooker a top 10 quarterback?
Yes.
Pro Football Focus grades?
Yep.
There you go.
68.8% completion, 14 touchdowns, one pick.
How many yards? You got his rushing stats there?
89 for 390. Long of 23. He does have 87 yards lost due to sacks.
I still think our offensive line is probably the – well, no, it's not probably. It's the weakest part of the offense.
They're pretty good in run blocking.
It would, well,
when they're healthy.
If it was completely healthy, I don't – it wouldn't be – it'd be much more serviceable. But, I mean, I think it's safe to say Cade Mays, you know, he was overrated from all the hype as a recruit. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. I just mean sometimes these guys get overhyped. And obviously development's was lacking under the last staff. So hopefully I was talking to just a random stranger at the ball game. He said we got some pretty good offensive line recruits coming in. Is that true? Because we were talking about the guys at the game. Remember that Ole Miss game was a huge recruiting weekend.
Did he mean coming in to visit or committed?
He meant already committed. Because we were talking about some of the local guys. And there were two Alcoa offensive linemen at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Two in different classes, I believe.
They've got Addison Nichols, 4-star, highest-rated player in the class.
Okay, yeah.
Interior offensive lineman, 6'5", 318.
All right. And then they had four guys.
The next one is Maurice Clipper, 3-star, from Alpharetta, Georgia, 6'4", 300. Masai Reddick from Detroit, 6'4.5", 330. Big kid.
Big boy, yeah.
And then Brian Grant from Choctawhatchee in Fort Walton.
Yeah.
Offensive tackle, 6'6", 278. 3-star. So 1 4-star, 3 3-stars.
Okay.
So you got Tennessee currently with 14 commitments. Good for 12th in the SEC. 32nd nationally.
Is the team doing enough on offense this year to, like, push that narrative that, like, hey, come play for Iowa. We're going to be putting up points, and it's going to be fun.
Yes, I wonder how much the NCAA investigation is. We need that over with for me to make a even close to fair assessment of what's going on. Because I think if you watch the, regardless of what position you play, if you watch this offense, I mean, it works. But guys are worried if they come here, are we going to be able to go to a bowl game? Scholarship restrictions, like, what's the deal right now? And I would assume that. I mean, 12th in the SEC with the way this season's gone doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I realize we're, you know, 4-3. We could easily be 6-1. We're right there on the edge of being a pretty damn good football team. Especially the way the current players are talking about, you know, the changes since Heupel and the staff got here. It seems like the momentum and positivity are good, but the recruiting results aren't exactly showing that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think these games against Alabama and Georgia are important from that standpoint. Like, you don't have to win them, but if you can put up some points, or if you can hang around for, you know, if you can do some positive things in those games, I think that, you know, there's no such thing as moral victories, but there is such thing as getting some street cred going up against the big boys and showing that you can play a little ball in those games. Because there's just going to be more. I mean, you know, even last week was SEC Network. This week, it's ESPN. If you're down 3 to Alabama at halftime, even if they beat you by 17.
Going to get some people's attention.
Like, it's going to be a thing. If you score a couple early touchdowns, even, you know, if you're down 21-14 at the end of the first quarter and it's just a track meet, like, and you got a couple highlight catches, and
people say that looks fun.
Yeah, you know, it matters. I mean, hell, no one's scoring on Georgia. You could lose to Georgia 40-30, and people will be over the moon thinking, man, Josh Heupel got this team playing another level. You know, they have really gotten better.
Yeah, I think I'd probably take 40-30 against Georgia right now. That would be, what, like more points than they've given up all season combined?
Close, yeah. I mean,
joking a little bit, but yeah, I'd take that. That's what makes tomorrow so weird. Like, I'm not dreading it. I have no expectations of winning, but I'm not dreading tomorrow.
I'm kind of excited to watch it. I mean, same thing. I have no expectation of winning, but I want to see. Now that it seems like we're not as beat up as I was kind of dreading it when I thought, God, it's going to be like Joe Milton and, you know, walk-on running backs, walk-on linemen or former walk-on linemen. That's not going to be fun.
Do you think we get – let's see. How do I word this? Do you think the refs kind of give us a couple calls here and there after the weekend we had last week?
They might after we're down 3 scores.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what happens in a lot of games where and sometimes I don't even think it's on purpose. I think a lot of these times, you know, refs, they can't help it. They go into a game, they know which team's supposed to be the one that's good, and that team gets the calls, especially out of the gate. And then sometimes once that team gets way ahead, the other team will get a few calls. That way, at the end of the day, you kind of look at the box score.
Oh, no, it was totally even. Yeah. Even though we helped that team get the dynamite
lead. I called a couple holdings and calls on each team, you know. That crew last week, though, couldn't even spot the football correctly.
No.
I bet you could go back and watch just ho-hum 4-yard gains for either team, and they were spotting the ball off a yard either way. Apparently Tennessee sent in film and said, hey, and the SEC, of course, obviously didn't put out a statement like they did against with Memphis, Mississippi State, saying they were wrong.
Really? So still nothing on the
right. Yeah, not admitting any fault there.
Nothing on the botched scoop and score. Great.
Correct.
Well, that's good. Did you see yesterday that Lane Kiffin offered some interesting ideas as far as how to police faking of injuries?
No, I didn't see this.
He said if you make it a penalty or make coaches start paying a fine, it would end immediately. And someone, I think it was Bro Bible, wrote an article about Lane Kiffin offered some very good advice on how... I was about ready to throw my computer across the room. People are now giving him credit for offering ideas as far as how to stop the faking. Think about that.
I know.
Because nobody even cared to watch that game. They just saw the bottles and said, oh, Tennessee fans, oh.
This is like Nick Saban saying, I hate to hurry up, it's ruining the game. And then
I'm going
to
do hurry up.
And then no one, and then they don't make any rules to help him. He's like, okay, fine, I'm going to do it. Because it used to be Lane Kiffin mad that everybody's slowing down his offense. So he's like, fine, you guys aren't going to make a rule? I'm going to do it. The only problem I have with this is it happened to us. I mean, good grief, Lane. Couldn't you have done that to somebody else instead of, like, you know,
no, it fits Knoxville? Him, though. It fits him. It suits him.
I'm serious. I think Heupel should have a guy go down every play, whole first quarter. Exactly the whole first quarter. That way everyone knows what the purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
For 15 minutes,
I like that.
Guy goes down every single play, second quarter, starts, play it straight up.
Is Bama running super fast this year?
No.
But they aren't huddling.
They're not huddling. Saban said, I don't know why anybody ever huddles.
Yeah,
I
saw that, which is interesting. Just
he adapts.
I know.
As curmudgeonly as he acts, he adapts. I mean, that's been his brilliance. That's been what separated
complain, then do the thing you're complaining about.
From Lou Holtz, from Bobby Bowden, from, I don't know, I'm just thinking of coaches that kind of won one or two championships. And just then we're kind of just, like they kind of found their moment where their coaching kind of worked and it was the best for that one or two, you know, Philip Fulmer, where they got over the, you know, hell, even Steve Spurrier to some degree. I mean, he adapted a little bit, but, you know, like Saban, that's why he's the best ever.
Because
he's been able to win. I mean, think about it. He's run completely different systems and won national championships with two, three, four different systems. Most guys are lucky to sniff one with their bread and butter, you know, the best they got.
Yeah, right.
That's been the best thing he's been able to do. It's crazy.
Ole Miss busting out the powder blue everything for Eli's game.
That's what, 3:30 against LSU?
Yep.
Wearing that sissy blue shirt.
I have a radical rule change that would never happen. But I think it would really help with the spotting of the football and first downs.
Lasers.
I'll let you know next.
Oh, okay. Lasers.
Hour 2 continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Football Friday edition of the program. All right, Houston, this is simple. This will never happen. I understand that. I get it. But let's just think for a minute.
Okay.
What's the worst part of reviewing a potential spot issue in a college football game right now? Guy goes down, it's third down. Guy goes down, you know he got it. Or let's say Hooker in the pit game. That's a great example.
Mm.
You can tell from you can pretty much tell, even though it's not a great angle, that he made the first down before he got pushed back, but the ref spot it short. They go to review. What's the worst part?
Don't have an angle.
No angle. Right? There's no evidence. Especially when it's just some random yard line, when you're trying to make the 13-yard line, right, for a first down, or the 12.5 even. I mean, like, there's – even if he shows that he – even if you kind of have an angle and it shows with the little marker up there and the yellow line, they're like, yep, there's no yard line, sorry. The only time those plays make sense is when you start at the 25 and you're like, we know he's got to make the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
Or at the goal line. As long, the goal line's more of a problem because there's more bodies in the way, typically.
True.
But usually when it's first and 10 from the 25,
mm-hmm.
and you're making the 35, it's much easier for the refs just to call, did he make the line or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're spotting in between yard lines, they're just kind of guessing on where the ball should be. Then they have to bring the chains out. Da-da-da-da. Now, people have brought out all this technology stuff, right? Lasers.
Microchips.
Yeah, all this stuff. And everybody, they always say, that's too expensive for the lower tier teams. You can't do that.
Who cares?
TV angles aren't great with ESPN Plus games, whatever, whatever. So here's a simple solution that would cost you, that would actually lower the cost for all these schools.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we go back to the flag football world to steal this idea.
Okay.
All right. In flag football, you just use the next line to gain. Well, the nice thing about real football fields is there's lines every 5 yards. Why don't we go to start possessions, first and 10 from the 25? That's fine. If you are on a yard line, it is first and 10 to the next yard line. If you are in between yard lines,
it is first and the next line.
It is first and 11, first and 12, first and 13, first and 14, max of first and 14.9. If you're on the line, you just have to make the next line.
Two lines.
No. If you're on the line, it's first and 10.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If you cross the line, you now have to go two lines.
There's lines every...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. So you have to go...
That's what you're saying, first and 14.
Yeah. We'll still put the little pointy thing at the line to make.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to single stick now. There's no need for the chains at all.
True.
Single stick on both sides. Little pointy thing at both sides.
No need to measure.
This is the yard line you guys need to make.
Touching the line, it's first down.
This is the line you guys need to make. You can downgrade your chain guys. Well, actually, I guess it's the same amount of guys get paid, right? Because you can eliminate one dude.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have the... Well, just give him a ball spotter on the other side. So you're good. You got four dudes. You got two at the line of scrimmage. You got two at the line to make. There's no chains connecting them now. They're just sticks. You still make the sticks. It's much easier on the officials. They're just reading. Did he make the line? Yep, made the line. Mark him on the line. If the football's touching the line, it's first and 10. The football has passed the line, max, first and 14 and a half or 14.9.
Could you go to just 10s?
What do you mean?
Instead of having to be first and 14, could you go to 10?
You can't first and 6. That's the problem. You can't first and 5.2.
Why not? Gained a little extra on the play before. That's your bonus.
No, the game, we need to help the defenses a little bit.
Oh, okay.
This would do it. Hey, quarterback gets a big play. He's running down the sideline, 43-yard gain. He's chucking down there. If he wants to go out of bounds, guy's about to knock him out of bounds anyway. If he wants to go out of bounds right before a line so that it's going to be first and 11 instead of being first and 14, smart thinking. See, add a little strategy into it. You can't, purposely fumble it like we used to in flag football at the line.
Right.
But you can still go down. He could slide right as he gains a line, or right before a line, actually. So right before the line, you kind of slide on the line. That way you get first and 10 or 11. Smart. It's simple.
I don't think I'd hate it. It would take mistakes out of the referee's hands.
It'd take a little getting used to it with first and 14, first and 12, it being different on first down every time.
Right.
But doesn't that enhance the strategy of the play calling and whether you're going to – first and 10, you're more likely to run the ball. First 14, you're going to throw it, but you don't want second 14. So maybe first and 14 is a rundown now. See, in the NFL, first and 10 is kind of, used to be kind of 60-40 run. Second 10 was like 85-15 run because no one wanted third and 10. They wanted third and 6, third and 7. It's kind of like that basketball idea we have the guy has.
It would
unequivocally help the game, but no one's going to do it because it's just so different. And it's the same here. This would kill. This would be easy.
I think I'm for it. It would be interesting to not have a first and 10 every time. It'd be first down, but it could be, anywhere between.
Sometimes you get a first and 5 with penalties. I mean, it happened for Tennessee the other night. It wasn't
true,
that weird.
True.
Obviously, anything inside the 15 is now first and goal.
Yeah.
So, overall, it's going to make the game slightly harder to score, but I don't think anybody would complain about that with the way the offense go up and down the field right now. Every defensive coordinator in America for my plan right now. I just got half of the coaches' vote.
That's a good
already.
Point. That's a pretty good point.
I just need a few of these head coaches that are defensive guys to jump on board and I need to send this to Saban. That's the way to get it done, right?
I actually like that idea. I mean, I think you'd still have some spotting of the ball issues, but it should be a lot easier.
Right. The Jacob Warren play, they'd still screw that up. I mean, he was
sure, yeah.
Practically at a yard line either. But I do wonder, you know, that stick was kind of at that yard line, but we don't know if it was an inch past,
right
on the chalk.
Right.
I mean, it would have at least made it slightly easier. That ref could have just run in and said, I know he didn't make the line. And he's got less to look at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, where, you know, was he on? And people wouldn't care that much about a spot being off by a quarter of a yard, because it's just going to be, did he make the line or not? You're not going to care if you're a quarter yard short, half yard short. Who cares? Right now, they're having to watch the knee, the ball. I mean, you physically, Jacob Warren's how it's like 6'6".
Yeah, he's up there.
You physically can't see his knee and the football perfectly at the same time.
No, it's guesswork.
This will fix it.
It's kind of like, you know, clock stoppage. And until you get into the final 2 minutes, really no one cares. But how many seconds have been, you know, taken away or left on there mistakenly throughout the game, but you don't notice clock mistakes until the last 2 minutes or minute or so. I think I like the line, though. I think I like that. But again, it's still all about spotting the ball. And
sure.
Is it that hard to get cameras if you're the SEC? Like one field-level camera?
Now, if you're talking about just our conference that has bukus of money, they should absolutely just invest in... I mean, when we have those pylon cams, mm-hmm. the shots are awesome. You can watch guys diving. I mean,
yep.
Sometimes you get...
Microchips in the ball, though. We got to do that.
Take my idea.
Okay.
Where you got the little pointy thing at the line to gain, just have pylons with the camera in it. That would solve a lot of those issues. You'd be able to see right down the line.
And that's just the guy's job. Just make sure the camera is
just
facing...
Move the thing and hold the stick. He moves the little pylon, sets it up perfectly, holds the stick so the players can see what line they got to get to, be reminded, you know?
I'm for
that. Adds a little sprinkle of extra strategy.
I'd like to see a test game. Like maybe you do it for an orange and white game, just see how it goes. Yeah. I think I'd be for that.
Be great.
But yeah, it could work.
It'd be awesome with our coaching staff too, because we got a good offense, you know? You wouldn't want to be like Jeremy Pruitt having first and 14.
Well, we're going to run it.
Put an extra guy in there to
and second
block.
And 15. All right.
Yeah, you don't want to have a high stuff rate.
Well, second 15. We're going to play for the punt here. Play for the punt.
Every possession's got to end in a kick. I wrote that in my journal that I kept from Coach Saban that's in the tubs that Casey wants me to
get rid of. That Casey bought.
It's brilliant. That's a Nate Hodges original.
I like that, actually.
I didn't steal that from anyone.
If it happens, I'm giving you full credit.
Okay.
Someone else will take credit for it. I have a guess.
You really could do the pylon cam right now, like just across the, like on both sides of the field.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what yard line you're on, as Chris points
out. Does that have good enough, I mean, I don't even think those things can zoom. Would that give you a long enough shot?
No, I don't think. It's nice at the goal line because there's so many plays that end up kind of coming towards the corner.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it would help on some calls, I'm sure. There's a lot of calls when guys are diving out of bounds trying to get the first down.
Mm-hmm. I still think microchip the tips of the football. They can make those things so small. Now you don't even know they were in.
Can you sync that with the video? Because that way...
Oh, I'm sure you can.
That way they can pause the video when they see his knee hit and then get basically a GPS spot of where the ball should be.
Yeah, I mean,
it would just be
some, you know, basic trigonometry. Like you have the 2 points of the football, and then you would know how wide the sides are, and then you just run some Pythagorean theorem depending on the two tips and see exactly where the edge of the football would be.
They'd have to have a mathlete on standby at all times.
It really wouldn't be that hard. I mean, yeah, they would just have a graphic. They'd superimpose. All right, there's the two microchips. Now superimpose the shape of the football over the microchips. Does it hit the line? Looks like it. First down.
Wouldn't it be easier just to, you know how they're always like, well, the yellow line's unofficial. I mean, it's been pretty spot on ever since the first few years.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just make sure they get the yellow line right all the time and just have the guy, instead of a spotting the ball in real time, have a ball spotter that does it via video. And at least buzzes down and says, and he'd only buzz down when they miss it. Be like, you missed that. He should have had the first down.
Well, that's the thing. They would miss it every time. Maybe by an inch, maybe by a foot. But
he'd only buzz them when it mattered, really. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, why do we spot the ball like in real time with guys flying all around? Like, let a guy in a controlled environment. It's like calling plays. Like, let the guy in the booth with a massive screen and the yellow line be like, he made it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I'm for that. Make it easy. Just simplify it. These refs got too much to do, and they can't do half of it.
Right, exactly. They're having issues all the time.
I still like the microchip idea.
Okay. None of this will change
anything. I mean, think of all the graphics you could do with the ball flying through the air, like the tracer, like they do in golf. Oh, baby.
Who gets screwed this week? We'll pull up the SEC schedule. I'll pick out a good candidate.
Spend my dollar, park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving.
Hour two continues this segment of the program brought to you by Smarter Searches. Check them out online at smartersearches.com for all your digital marketing needs right here in Knoxville. Well, you know, digital marketing all over the world, the World Wide Web, of course. But Smarter Searches is locally owned and operated and based right here in Knoxville. They love to help you out. Hit them up online at smartersearches.com, and then tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio.
Well, the coaches will know today who's going to start at quarterback.
They will?
I don't know that we will. But the medical staff will make the determination today after their walkthrough.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Heupel doesn't seem to be too worried about Joe Milton letting the walk out of bounds hang over his head. Says he'll respond the way a competitor should. Welp. Okay.
Okay.
So we got that going for us, I guess.
Are we going to see more than one quarterback for any reason?
I'm going to say yes. Also, did you see the report yesterday that K'Ron Calvert has been at practice recently?
No.
After the... Because he had a torn biceps, right?
Yeah.
There's some rumor that he might be back for the Kentucky game.
Okay. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I kind of forgot... Kind of forgot about him being out. I mean, that was the first part of our offensive line injury issue.
Yes, lost him before the season even started. That was once the pads went on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened super early. But apparently, he's been going in practice a little bit, and I guess he's just trying to build the strength back in the arm, and he may be able to give it a go for Kentucky.
Okay,
I guess at that point, because he hasn't played yet, he could play Kentucky, Georgia, maybe sit out South Alabama and or Vanderbilt, play the bowl game, if we allow ourselves to do such a thing.
Yeah.
And still be eligible next year, not lose a year of eligibility.
Not a bad plan.
It's an interesting plan.
What's the line going to look like next year?
Five dudes, two tackles, two guards, center. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming Darnell Wright comes back. Cade's probably gone, right?
Yeah.
Cooper will be back. Carvin will be back.
It's everybody but Cade.
Right?
I think so. If there's somebody else we're losing because they're too old, I don't think we're going to really miss them. I mean, we mentioned the four-star guys coming in. I mean, that's the problem with offensive line, though. Like, you need to stack two and three classes together so that you're starting kind of like redshirt sophomores and juniors.
Yes.
Not redshirt freshman, a true freshman. I mean, it was great when we got Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright, like 2-5. But, you know, even in a perfect world, like, they're not going to be moving guys around from Alabama and Georgia until their second or third year.
Right. Did you see last night that Catholic took down Powell 30-29?
No, I missed that. Yeah, so much going on last night.
I know. I'm sure Bear is ecstatic.
How'd Walter Nolan play?
Well, he played in Michigan cleats.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so he was here for the Ole Miss game, but apparently he's going back to Texas A&M this weekend.
Okay. Don't like that.
He recovered a fumble last night.
Did he?
And then fumbled it.
Was it Russell that said that he had a... Russell said, and I don't know if this is true, Russell said he went to A&M a boy, but came back a man.
I told you that.
Oh. I thought Russell said it, too. Did you tell Russell that?
No. I don't know if that was supposed to be said on air, that what you just said, but you went ahead and went.
Well, no, they made a man out of him. Football man. That kind of thing. Here's how you're going to have to play.
I don't know what to say right now.
I don't know why I could have gotten in trouble for that. Davey's the one who just told on himself. Well, they give him a car. That was what Russell was saying. We just got to get him in a Maserati. He'll be here in no time. Sign him up with Maserati at Knoxville. Give him the NIL deal. Boom.
Just let him drive Tony V's for a minute. Get a taste.
Russell did make a point. Could he fit in a Maserati?
Then tell him if he comes here, then he can have one.
You know, those are really bad cars to own.
I'm not knocking Knoxville business owners. I want to make that clear. Knoxville business owners, I would never knock it. But we got Louisville Porsche dealers giving out cars to Kentucky players, and this is a good NIL deal. John Folkerson got Mayfield milk and Pal's Sudden Service.
You know,
I'm just saying.
Mayfield is a
can we get these parts. Can we get some of our good players?
Our biggest booster sells gasoline.
But they're already in bed with the university, so they can't double dip. The university would say, you're taking money away from us. So what business do we have that's not advertising with the university that can get but doesn't Mayfield advertise with the university?
Yeah, I think, I don't know how that works.
Well, and it's weird, too, because Pilot just sold all their, you know, mom-and-pop shops. They sold, like, 40 of them to, what was the name of the company, Dave?
Clancy's, I don't know.
It was something like that. Is it Clancy's?
It's whatever. There's a big Midwestern convenience store chain.
So they're changing all that over, so maybe that's good. Maybe they're getting out of that game, and they're just going to have a lot of money to throw around. But we got to get these guys in something a little bit more substantial than cookies and milk. That's what we are. That is our football program right now.
Better than wine and cheese.
Huh? I don't know. I think there's probably more money in wine and cheese. Some cheeses are expensive. Milk is milk. I mean, it's more expensive than gasoline per gallon. But we just need some heavy hitters. Like, Hackney? Like, can Hackney start rolling some marketing dollars and throw it at some of these guys? Is that like Bryce Young's making $1 million at Alabama?
Aren't we getting a new Ford plant in the state or something? Can they start building like specific custom concept vehicles for these recruits? I feel like that would really move the needle.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, hey, no one else has this car.
This is the Walter Nolan 2.0.
Boom,
the beta.
You might be like, oh, Ford, that's not a big, but
don't care.
But if it was a concept, unique, customer, like,
that'd probably be very, very expensive.
So,
I'd rather just give him cash.
Oh, whatever it gets the job, and like, maybe you could just pass it to him through drive thrus in bags or something.
Okay, that's not even funny.
We tried that already.
Yeah, that's not funny. That's not funny.
It's got to be an NIL. That's why you can't just hand them cash. Well, I guess you can if they're endorsing something. But
yeah, just have them endorse something.
Okay.
I love my Ford truck. It just goes and goes and goes. Boom. $1 million.
Here's money.
It's easy.
Okay.
Cookies and milk. That's what... Kentucky gets Porsche. We are cookies and milk.
Well, don't forget that landscaping business that the one guy owns that the other players are endorsing.
Grant Furking?
Yeah. Yeah. Pine straw, cookies, and milk.
We need more Furking money.
More Furking you money, maybe. Yeah. Who has that type of money? Well, we'll brainstorm and come back. Final segment, hour two. Final segment, hour number two. It's brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. A big weekend in the NFL, of course. And don't forget, you can get involved with the same game parlay on any of the games this Sunday.
tried my hand at a same game parlay last night.
Yep.
I say tried. Because I failed.
I mean, you got the Melvin Gordon touchdown. Did you have him as an anytime touchdown scorer?
Nope.
Oh.
Took Noah Fant instead.
Oof. Well, the great news, Houston, is you'll get that $10 back in site credit, and you can bet again this weekend on other stuff with it. Make some money with that bet, hopefully.
Right.
What?
I missed more than one leg, Nate.
Well, that's the great thing about the same game parlay NFL. It's you just have to bet three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, you get it back.
But I think you have to only lose one leg, right?
That's a different promo. This one is no matter what.
Oh, wait, did I get my money back? That'd be cool.
Did you opt in?
Of course I opted in. What am I, an idiot?
Fast payouts, easy to use, safe and secure, and the best promos in the game. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We use
Maybe
it all
I got
the
it
time.
Back.
It'll come back to you as site credit, and then you can try again. And if you're new to FanDuel, use our promo code 3OUT to receive 30-1 odds on the game between Houston and Arizona. You just pick the winner, and $150 is your win on just a $5 bet. That's promo code 3OUT. Davey's rolling with Arizona's his NFL Eliminator pick. Is that correct? There you go.
That is correct.
So that seems like a pretty safe bet there. Same game parlay, you know, you can just pick any game and roll with that.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, that's another promo where that's same game parlay insurance. This is every week in the NFL. Three legs or more. If your bet doesn't win, they'll give you back $10 in site credit.
Yes.
Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Yes.
There you go.
You just made my day. Thank you for that.
No problem. Well, it's kind of a weak college slate. Are we more excited?
Not kinda. It is.
Are we more excited for the NFL this weekend? Week 7. We got bye week started, right?
Yes, but in fairness, I'm more excited for the NFL every week.
Well, I know you are. So I was talking to the room. It is a big one for your Titans as the Chiefs roll into town at 1:00 from Nissan Stadium. How you feeling?
Feel good. Should be a fun game. Have the Titans winning this one. Another 30-point shootout.
They're 5-point dogs, and you got them winning?
Yeah. Well, I think they're 4.5 right now. They were 5.5-point dogs against Buffalo.
Oh, it's moving the right way.
I had them winning that one as well.
All right.
Titans play to their competition. So as long as they have the ball late, can Ryan Tannehill take them down for a game-winning drive? And since he's been the starter, he has more of those than any other quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he'll have another opportunity this weekend.
I dig. How's the health situation for the Titans right now?
Could be worse. It could be, yeah. I am a little nervous, though. A.J. Brown still battling the food poisoning situation. He said that his body will not hold anything down. So if that continues to get worse, I mean, they're keeping him hydrated with IVs. But if he can't go, that could be very problematic.
Yeah,
but fortunately, you're going up against
the
worst secondary in the league.
I mean, he's like a week removed from the initial food poisoning thing. Like, what do you do if you still can't hold food down a week later?
I don't know.
Food poisoning is usually a more temporary situation.
Right, that's what I was saying.
I don't know. That's
no idea what he's supposed to do.
I mean, Titan secondary is banged up. That's an understatement, but
true.
Yeah.
I know they're going up against Mahomes, but they're just going to sit in zone all day, just make him try to... I mean, Mahomes is probably going to have over 400 yards passing, but it's the same game plan as what the Bills did to them. Where
Ben, don't break.
Yep, just keep them to where they're settling for field goals in the red zone.
Just got to score. You got to score touchdowns on that Chiefs defense. That's the only way to beat them. Just keep scoring touchdowns. Put pressure on them. See if you get a lucky mistake or something happens. Not a great week in the NFL, really. I mean, there's like
a lot of teams on bye.
Well, the Monday night game is Saints at Seahawks. I mean, that's... with no Drew Brees, no Russell Wilson. Like, that's not really the same as it used to be. You got Colts at 49ers for the Sunday night game. They're 2-4 and 2-3, respectively. You got Chicago at Tampa Bay. I don't know. I mean, a lot of the teams that are like 5-1 are playing really bad teams. You do have Cincinnati at Baltimore. Cincinnati, sneaky, 4-2. Baltimore, 5-1. But see, like, Green Bay is 5-1. They're playing Washington. You got Arizona, who's 6-0, playing Houston. You got the L.A. Rams, 5-1. They're playing Detroit, who's 0-6. A lot of mismatches.
Tons.
But I'm sure there'll be some good games. The great thing about the NFL, there's just so many. Some of them will end up close. Fangio still rolling with Bridgewater, huh, after last night's loss?
Yeah, the guy could barely put any weight on the left leg, and they just left him out there to limp around.
Did you take that under we were talking about yesterday? Of 40?
No.
Is that what it
captured? I took the over.
Did you really?
Yeah. One against myself.
Case Keenum, Teddy B.
I also had Case Keenum over 219, which looked like a lock after his first two drives. Then
what did he end up with?
I don't know. Something close.
Okay.
Close enough to make me think he could get it.
Be frustrated.
It happens. Let me see if I can find that for you real quick. I think it was 219.5. He finished with 199.
Gotcha.
199 had a touchdown on the opening drive. John Kelly got a couple carries, though. Did you see that?
I did.
He was the second leading rusher for the Browns. Two carries, 13 yards.
I didn't realize he was going to factor in that game, but there you go.
But I think they just activated him, right?
Okay, yeah, it must have.
Just making it happen. I also had Cortland Sutton over 70.5 yards receiving.
What did he get, 68?
68. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, you know, a lot of games for you to bounce back with this weekend.
Yes, that's true. There are quite a few games.
Memphis, 2-point favorite tonight on the road at the Bounce House, the Gus Bus. Memphis at UCF, 7 o'clock, ESPN2.
How's Gus doing down there? What's the record there at UCF?
Not good.
Not good?
3-3.
Once Gabriel went out for the season, they were really, really struggling.
Missing a quarterback. Washington at Arizona in some super exciting 10:30 ESPN2 Pac-12 action. I'm completely kidding.
I was going to say the sarcasm dripping from your statement
here. Those two teams have won two games combined all year, both by Washington. Arizona's 0-6.
Arizona's
0-6?
0-6. Yo. Okay.
Yeah. They are really terrible football games tomorrow.
Excellent.
A lot of them.
Good. Good.
I'm a little worried about my Oklahoma State Cowboys on the road against Hickman's Iowa State spoiler team now.
That's all they've got left, right? Is just play spoiler?
You got Oregon.
Do you guys know what the line is on that?
Seven.
No. Seven.
But you know that the eighth ranked team in the country is the underdog?
Yeah. 7-point dog.
Oklahoma State's the dog?
Yes, and they're a top 10 team in the country right now.
Nobody's believing.
That game's Cowboy, one of them we're
go
picking.
Pokes. The game what?
We're picking it. I'm actually just filling that out right now.
Oregon and UCLA, 3:30 on ABC.
Did you guys see the weird ESPN mistake yesterday to their app that posted all of the scores for tomorrow's game? Games?
No.
They had UCLA beating Oregon.
Did
like
we
30.
Win?
No. No, no, no.
Can't even win the fake games.
Tennessee lost to Alabama tomorrow.
What was the score?
52-14. UCLA beats Oregon like 31-27.
If all those scores happen exactly the way they were posted, what are you going to do?
Riot.
Does ESPN know the future? Are all these games like scripted? Like, are we in the Matrix? Like, what is going on?
Let me see if I can find it.
It could just be a coincidence.
Every game's the exact same score.
They had a Michigan barely sneaking by Pat Forty's Northwestern Wildcats.
That's true. That was a close one. That was a close one.
Were there any ones where you're like, okay, now that'll never happen? Or were they somebody's? Were they somebody's predicted score? Was it the FBI's prediction predicted scores? Maybe.
I have it
based on an algorithm.
That's what I was thinking. That the FBI predicted score got in there and. You got it, Dave?
Yes.
Clemson at Pitt.
We got?
Well, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 games that it gave.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
What's the tweet say so I can look it up?
Are they winners?
Like, how can I search this? Who was the tweet by?
I just had somebody send me the screenshot. It's here. I'll just send it. I'll put it in the group thread.
Oh, I got it right here.
You got it?
Yeah, found it. Go ahead.
All right. So the first game, Cincinnati versus Navy, Cincinnati 56-10.
Okay.
Makes sense. I mean, Navy's bad. Cincinnati's second-ranked team in the country. Next up, Oklahoma at Kansas. Oklahoma 58, Kansas 14.
Okay. Makes sense. Checks out.
Then we got a close one. Northwestern, Michigan is mentioned. Michigan 31-24.
That actually sounds pretty believable.
Then.
Hey, guys. This is University of
Tennessee. Whoa.
It's
all right. That's okay. We'll tease that, but you want to come back with it? You need a second?
I'm fine.
Okay. You're good?
Yeah.
We're good. Professionals at work here, folks. Do not try this at home.